Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, and today we are covering the Order of Scribes Wizard. Hey Ryan.
Hey Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I just got news of
of
mail that I am indeed a wizard.
Oh, you're a wizard, Brian.
I'm a wizard. It's me, a wizard.
Well, that's good because we're going to talk about a specific type of wizardry that you might be interested in partaking of.
Fast forward 2 levels from now, added to my first level.
Exactly.
What will I be? What kind of wizard?
Maybe you'll be an Order of Scribes wizard. Let's find out today.
Sell me.
All right.
Not me. Sell me on it.
Yes, absolutely.
Please don't sell me.
I won't.
Hey, point of order. Thank you to all the new people that have recently started watching the show.
Yes, or listening, I should say.
We've been waiting for you.
Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. You're generally, most of you are listeners, actually. So yeah, welcome, listener.
Indeed.
You like this? You like the way this sounds, huh?
All right, let's get to it. So magic of the book, that's what many folk call wizardry. Ooh. The name is apt, given how much time wizards spend poring over tomes and penning theories about the nature of magic. It's rare to see wizards traveling without books and scrolls spouting from their bags, and a wizard would go to great lengths to plumb an archive of ancient knowledge.
Very robbable.
Mm-hmm. Wizards, very robbable.
Yeah.
Among wizards, the Order of Scribes is the most bookish. It takes many forms in different worlds, but its primary mission is the same everywhere, recording magical discovery so that wizardry can flourish. And while all wizards value spellbooks, a wizard in the Order of Scribes magically awakens their book, turning it into a trusty companion. All wizards study books, but a wizardly scribe talks to theirs.
Ooh, what? Okay.
So you take this subclass at level 2 for wizard, where you choose your school of magic, in this case, the Order of Scribes. And at level 2 is where you get your first features.
Oh, my bad. I said in the opener that it was level 3, and I was wrong.
You were wrong.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
That's different. Most classes are level 3.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
Wizard's level 2.
So your first feature is called Wizardly Quill. As a bonus action, you can magically create a tiny quill in your free hand. The magic quill has the following properties. The quill doesn't require ink. When you write with it, it produces ink in a color of your choice on the writing surface. The time you must spend to copy a spell into your spellbook equals 2 minutes per spell level if you use the quill for the transcription. You can erase anything you write with the quill if you wave the feather over the text as a bonus action, provided the text is within 5 feet of you. The quill disappears if you create another one or if you die.
Immediately, incredibly flavorful stuff.
Yes.
And we did talk in the Meta Magic episode how it was important to lean into the player's handbook rules when it comes to spellcasting to not take away from some of these features.
Yeah, absolutely.
You start hand waving things, you start to nullify some of the benefits of picking a subclass like this.
This is very true.
Really apparent.
You also get another feature at level 2 called Awakened Spellbook. Using specially prepared inks and ancient incantations passed down by your wizardly order, you have awakened an arcane sentience within your spellbook. While you are holding the book, it grants you the following benefits. You can use the book as a spellcasting focus for your wizard spells. You can cast a wizard spell with a spell slot. When you cast a wizard spell with a spell slot, you can temporarily replace its damage type with the type that appears in another spell in your spellbook, which magically alters the spell's formula for the casting for this casting only. The later spell must be of the same level as the spell slot you expend. We just talked about transmuting spells in the Meta Magic episode last episode, and this is basically that for free.
Yeah, it's cool. You're like drag and dropping. Like you turn your book of spells into a tablet. Pretty much is what it sounds like. Like you can like kind of like click and drag the damage type onto the spell.
So that's one way to flavor it for sure. I did not think of it that way, but that's cool. When you cast a wizard spell as a ritual, you can use the spell's normal casting time rather than adding 10 minutes to it. Once you use this benefit, you can't do so again until you finish long rest. So you get one quick ritual. If necessary, you can replace the book over the course of a short rest by using your wizardly quill to write arcane sigils in a blank book or a magic spell book to which you're attuned. At the end of the rest, your spellbook's consciousness is summoned into the new book, which the consciousness transforms into your spellbook along with all its spells. If the previous book still existed somewhere, all the spells vanish from its pages.
Cool.
So that's level two. You got a magic book and a magic quill.
That's a lot of stuff. I was going to say, like, oh, you don't need to write with ink. And then it was like, oh, you need special ink to do special things. And I was like, ooh. At first, I was like, saving copper. Nope. Still spending it.
At level six, you get your next feature. It's called Manifest Mind. You can conjure forth the mind of your awakened spellbook. As a bonus action, while the book is in your person, or is on your person, you can you can cause the mind to manifest as a tiny spectral object hovering in an unoccupied space of your choice within 60 feet of you. The spectral mind is intangible and doesn't occupy its space, and it sheds dim light in a 10-foot radius. It looks like a ghostly tome, a cascade of text, or a scholar from the past, your choice.
I am having so hard, like, finding a pop culture reference. Is there a book that talks to you, a floating book? Like, I'm picturing, like, a book with a mouth,
in,
you know what I mean?
The Pagemaster, aren't three of his companions books?
I'm going to look at the Pagemaster.
One's a horror book. One's a romance or fantasy book. Whoopi Goldberg does the voice actor for that one.
Oh, this is starting to ring a bell.
The other one's like a adventure book. Yeah. And they each have a personality based off their genre, and they help the kid like get through.
Oh yeah. I kind of remember this.
Wow, it's got a really bad rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I fucking love that movie.
That's a good
movie.
I'm pretty sure that's
Rotten Tomatoes.
Is that Macaulay Culkin?
Yes.
Was this an animated movie?
Semi.
You go into the animated
half,
world. Right?
Half and half.
Oh no, yeah. 20.
I'm mad at you, Rotten Tomatoes. It's my childhood you're fucking
21%
with.
21% on the tomato meter and 48% audience score. So, like, I guess you're in this 48% category.
Goddamn right. Well, at least 7 year old me was. I haven't seen it since I was seven.
Man, 7 year old. 7 year old you had terrible taste in movies, according to Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Pretty good.
It's got a 5-star rating on Amazon.com.
Goddamn right it does.
I guess, but that could just mean, like, when they order the DVD, it showed up and they, like, played Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, that's exactly what it probably means. Cool. Okay, while manifested, the spectral mind can hear and see, and it has dark vision because, of course, it does within range of 60 feet. The mind can telepathically share with you what it sees and hears. So it's like a little familiar.
Hey, Will, is Pagemaster bad because these books are animated in, like, the most disgusting way I've ever seen?
Oh, dude, it was the 90s. 90s American animation. It was how gross can you make your cartoon look?
Oh, God. Okay, it's pretty bad.
Have you seen Aw Real Monsters?
I love that show.
Yeah, me too. It looks like ass, but it's great.
What's the dude holding his eyeballs called? What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember.
He's got a funny name. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, like, dude, Rocket
League.
You
talk like this.
Yeah, Rocket League. It's ugly as hell. I love that.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, Rocket League looks pretty good.
Or is it
good.
Rocket Power?
Rocket Power.
Rocket Power, my bad. It looks ugly as hell, but it's a great show.
Having Rocket League on while you're trying to sleep is like having an aquarium in your room.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's talk about the wizard, Brian. Where was
I? Different from Rocket Power. So, Rocket League is the game with the cars and the giant ball.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, okay.
Whenever you cast a wizard spell on your turn, you can cast it as if you were in the spectral mind space. And instead of your own, using its senses, you can do so a number of times per day equal to your proficiency bonus, and you regain all expended uses when you finish a long rest.
Okay. Is this Atasha's wizard?
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense.
As a bonus action.
Bonus thing.
Yeah, as a bonus action, you could cause the spectral mind to hover up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space that you or it can see. It can pass through creatures, but not objects. The spectral mind stops manifesting if it is ever more than 300 feet away from you, if someone casts dispel magic on it, if the awakened spellbook is destroyed, or if you die, or if you dismiss the spectral mind as a bonus action. Once you conjure the mind, you can't do so again until you finish a long rest, unless you expend a spell slot of any level to conjure it again.
Okay.
Woo. So, level two, you get a book and a quill. Level three, or level six, you get a familiar.
Yeah.
Level 10, Master Scrivener is a feature that you get. Whenever you finish a long rest, you can create one magic scroll by touching your wizardry quill to a blank piece of paper or parchment and causing one spell from your awakened spellbook to be copied onto the scroll. Spellbook must be within 5 feet of you when you make the scroll. The chosen spell must be a first or second level and must have a casting time of one action. Once in the scroll, this is a wordy fucking subclass. I just want to say that. Sorry.
It's a wizard, man. Yeah. There's going to be data.
And it's a wizard based off words. Once in the scroll, the spell's power is enhanced, counting as one level higher than normal. You can cast a spell from the scroll by reading it as an action. The scroll is unintelligible to anyone else, and the spell vanishes from the scroll when you cast it or when you finish your next long
That's
rest.
That's crazy. What about comprehend languages? That probably was the only... Will that bypass that?
No, because it's unintelligible to anyone else.
Okay, yeah. It's the magic says so.
You are also adept at crafting spell scrolls, which are described in the treasure chapter of the Digimaster Guide. The gold and time you must spend to make such a scroll are halved if you use your wizardly quill. So you can make spell scrolls. It's awesome. It means that you don't have to spend spell slots.
Yeah. You can rip pages out of your book.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Sure. Nothing really to add to that. It's just extra spellcasting, really, is what it comes down to.
It's cool. I mean, you could hand those off.
No, because no one can read them.
They can't read them, but
only
you
can read them.
Like, hold this for me. I'm out of space.
It gives you extra slots. That's really what it is.
Nice.
At the lower end, because it's like level ones and twos.
Yeah, for the spells that you would want, like maybe more like the Find Familiar thing or whatever would be better.
Your final feature at level 14, it's called One with the Word. Your connection to your Awakened spellbook has become so profound that your soul has become intertwined with it. While the book is on your person, you have advantage on all intelligence arcana checks as the spellbook helps you remember magical lore. Moreover, if you take damage while your spellbook's mind is manifested, you can prevent all of that damage to you by using your reaction to dismiss the spectral mind, using its magic to save yourself. Then roll 3d6. The spellbook temporarily loses spells of your choice that have a combined spell level equal to that roll or higher. For example, if the roll's total is 9, spells vanish from the book that have a combined level of at least 9, which could mean 1/9th level spell, 3/3 level spells, or some other combination. If there aren't enough spells in the books to cover this cost, you drop to 0 hit points.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Until you finish 1d6 long rest, you are incapable of casting the lost spells, even if you find them on a scroll or in another spellbook. After you finish the required number of rests, spells reappear in the spellbook. Once you use this reaction, you can't do so again until you finish long rest.
Is Jesus that implying Christ. It's like linked to your mind, your memory?
Yes, it's linked to your, well, that and it's linked to your spellbook.
Yeah, like, the, well, that's what I mean. Of course, things are, you know, all our things are linked to our memory in some way, right? But, like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, that specific memories of utilizing that data are codependent here.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this is an interesting feature because it does one really good thing, which is prevent you from dying one time, right?
Yeah.
Which is great.
Always great.
But it seems like the payment for it is brutal. Like, you lose a lot of spells. You lose your awakened mind, but you can't reawaken it because you can only do that once a day, I'm pretty sure. I'm wrong.
Maybe it's just based off, like, the American healthcare system.
Oh, God damn it. I mean, maybe. But my point is, like, yeah, it's a big cost, but I guess if you want to not die,
yeah, exactly.
It's worth it.
Like, that's exactly
yeah,
what I'm saying.
No, I hear you. You're not wrong. Let's take a short rest.
Okay.
And we're going to build a character, two characters.
Yeah, let's build two characters after the short rest.
This episode of the Dungeon Cast is brought to you by Furhaven from Fate's End. Welcome to the world of Aloria, a place of mystery and danger where adorable characters undertake dangerous quests to protect their families and communities. The main hub of commerce and civilization is the settlement of Furhaven, a large community of hardworking furs from throughout the forests, dark mines, and sunny spaces. Furhaven is an exciting campaign setting for 5th edition, full of colorful characters, magical items, spells, new races, and daring adventures. Would you like to take your kids and beginners on a simple yet intriguing adventure? In addition to the campaign book, they've created a complete box adventure designed specifically for beginner players who started at level 0 and acquire unique items and spells one by one along their journey. Step by step, unraveling the complexities of 5e, as your players unravel the mysteries of Furhaven. Interested in sponsoring the show? Reach out to us at thedungeoncast@gmail.com.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services: what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're back.
Indeed. And we built some characters.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
That was a long, short rest.
It was for us. Yeah, there was a lot of character building going on.
It was an instant to you with our audio magic that I used my special books magic to conjure and make it so.
Do you want to go first or should I?
This spell is called editing. this spell is called blade tool. You did a lot of talking. I'll go first.
Okay, go for it.
Welcome to Harangonverse, everybody. We're back at it again. God damn it, DeGonzo. And we're going to do my wizard, small Harangon, level 6, named Scrawn.
Scrawn the Harangon.
Scrawn the Harangon. Okay. I couldn't decide between scrawny and scrawl, like scrawl
oh,
out.
Well,
like
then, yeah, it's perfect.
Scrawn.
Scrawn the Harangon.
Scrawn the Harangon.
Tell us about Scrawn.
Scrawn
also sounds like a villain name, like Scrawn.
It could be the evil tiny rabbit Scrawn. definitely a neutral alignment. They're orphaned as a child, like many of my Harangon are.
So sad.
Yeah, but this one is like, I don't know what the circumstances of the orphaning were, but they had to learn how to be an urchin. That's like the urchin background.
So they're orphaned in the city.
So they start out in the city. They have some skills as, you know, when rabbits have a lot of babies and one of them fell off the cart.
Oh, well, that's horrible.
Scrawn, the runt of the litter that fell off the cart.
Fell off the cart.
And had to learn how to be.
How did Scrawn become a wizard?
Through the clawing their way up from the dredges of
society.
Of society's lower rungs.
You didn't think about this part.
Maybe they steal a book
and it's awakened.
I want Scrawn to be kind of smart, like, and be prodigious in magic and not have access to it until like they're older.
Sure.
So they live a hard life, you know, stealing, and it's easy because they're small. And then one day an incredibly muggable person is walking by.
Yeah. You know, wizards, so muggable.
I think I took Artificer Initiate, so maybe they get taken in and they get shown how to do some artificery to kind of help them out.
Okay.
But Scrawn has always loved carrots a lot, but didn't get the chance to eat them a lot.
He's because a rabbit.
He cost money.
Yeah, and he was an urchin.
And Scrawn started like making like little trinkets that were shaped like carrots and stuff and selling them so they could buy real carrots.
Okay.
Eventually, Scrawn gets enough money to go out and start a carrot patch of their own. And
okay.
And one day, an incredibly robbable, muggable person comes by, and they steal their magic book from them.
Why? They already have a garden full of carrots.
They have a garden full of carrots, and something's missing.
Okay.
Something's missing.
Fine.
And I don't know. Do you got another good way for them to get this book?
Well, no. I like the mugging. Okay. How about this?
You do. Do you?
How about as an urchin, they're doing the thing where they're stealing items to sell to get carrots, right?
Yeah, because
that's what Scrawn does, little 8-year-old Scrawn.
That's what Scrawn do.
And he mugs a wizard.
She. Scrawn is a girl.
She mugs a wizard, and she mugs a book off the wizard that ends up being this awakened tome. and she feels compelled not to sell it because the book starts talking to her and starts teaching her magic out of itself.
Don't turn me into a carrot. We could be friends.
Indeed. There you go.
Okay, it'll be like this. The wizard rolls up on a horse, and Scron has a magic ring, by the way, that maybe they procured at some time in their city life. They were leaving to go do their carrot patch, and they saw somebody extremely muggable exhibit about magic rings, and they don't know what these magic rings do, but Scron steals it.
Okay.
Scron becomes invisible always. Because mechanically, Scron has a zero strength and a minus one con. So Scron totals out to a big whopping, 20 HP.
At level what?
At level six.
Oh,
so
wow.
Scron needs to have advantage on when they're being attacked. So they have the ring, the one ring to rule them all that makes them invisible and makes them want to mug people.
Okay.
mugging is part of them, I think.
Are they multicast rogue?
No, they get thieves tools and disguise kit proficiencies from their urchin background. Mm.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Like,
I see that, yeah.
Yeah, I just was looking for an orphan background. I was like, okay, which one of these disguises you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
So that's pretty much Scron, though. Like, I know a ton of spells. They're all going to be flavored to be like carrot based. Do like carrot based magic.
Okay.
Like transmutation is going to be big. Like turning carrots into things. As Scron has found a way to make carrots the material component for many of their spells.
Okay, for sure. Absolutely.
So they have a carrot patch and they have different like tiers of carrots. Like they have the outdoor carrots and they have indoor carrots and they have carrots indoors that have like, they take special water and need like special humidities and have special like.
This is where it would be cool if you did research on carrots and found the different types of carrots in the world and like different types of carrots are worth more from better slots.
Yeah, I already know. There's the dark red ones. There's the orange classic.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
like the lighter yellowish
baby
color.
Carrots for cantrips.
There are baby carrots, which are actually just carrots that are machined and bleached. They bleach in your carrots, y'all. Watch out. And yeah, I mean, I got really like earthy, so like stuff to be. Scron, after living a hard life and becoming a wizard, truly just wants to be an agricultural aficionado, a farmer, if you will.
Okay.
And I took a lot of spells based around that. I got acid splash, turning carrots into acid. We're fermented carrots. You know?
Oh my god! We're it's just fermented carrot juice.
Create bonfires, a good one to just like, you know,
throw some dried carrots on the,
you know, the
fire.
Tops, like they become tinder. Like you let them dry out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of tinder hanging around. They just like throw it and it becomes bonfire. Mage hand so they don't have to get their hands all dirty. They have little hands. Mm-hmm. Mending, fix stuff. Mold earth, plant carrots. All good stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me look at like I'm just
so
gonna,
you somehow took the scribe wizard and turned it into a garden wizard.
I'm a garden wizard. Baby.
You are.
You're a garden wizard.
Hagrid's a garden wizard for sure. Actually,
cause fear, keep people out of my farm. Detect magic. Are people fucking with my carrots? Earth tremor, because earth stuff.
Sure.
Long strider. I need to go fast and invisible.
All
right. To get away from the dude I mugged. Mage armor, magic missile, protection from evil and good for my carrots. Although I think that's a sub thing, huh?
Don't let evil come for your carrots.
Silvery barbs to set up around my carrot patch.
Okay.
Snare to set up around my carrot patch. Unseen servant to help me silently and invisibly, like me, work on the carrot patch.
All right, cool. Cool.
Arcane lock for the special indoor carrot box I have.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a box within that box.
Well, I mean, you have a greenhouse, right?
I have a greenhouse. We've got some special UV lights set up.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large grow operation.
Mm-hmm.
It started small. It's become bigger.
Sure.
a lot of like chemical, like transmuting the soil to make it richer. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This rabbit's from Humboldt County. Let's see. We got, yeah, I did arcane lock, cloud of daggers, but instead of daggers, it's just really sharp carrots. Yeah. And then earthbind, enlarge, reduce to make me small to medium.
So you eat a carrot and get big, or
yes,
eat a little carrot and get small.
Eat a carrot. I could get tiny.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I need to be even smaller and invisible.
Yeah.
To escape the feds. Mm-hmm. And then these are great. Some of these carrots are really good, by the way.
I'm sure they are.
Really good. Magic weapon, you know, big carrot, big, long, thin big, carrot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Pyrotechnics. So like dried carrots that have holes drilled into them that uh-huh. become like explosive with like sawdust.
Okay.
Or like the tinder.
All right. Carrot bombs.
Carrot bombs. Shadow blade, but it's a carrot.
But it's a shadow carrot.
It's a shadow carrot. Okay. I summon a shadowy carrot from like the fucking far realm. Or, like,
yeah, sure. Absolutely.
The Shadowfell or some shit. Bestow curse on those that would dare trespass on my patch. Catnap to make intruders sleep. I'm pretty sure that's how that works. Counterspell, because it's good.
Because it's good.
Because I love it. Erupting Earth, flame arrows, but they're carrots.
Mm-hmm. Flaming carrots.
Fly, because like an invisible tiny flying rabbit that can just like hail down flaming carrots upon you is cool.
It is cool. You're right.
Life transference. And I know the parameters of the spell probably don't make sense for this, but it's to help my carrots grow. I sacrifice my own life to help a patch in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it a hard night of sleet? I'm going to go outside and make things better.
Okay.
Flaming carrots to melt the ice, and then I'm going to life transfer to the carrots.
Okay.
I would do that as Scrawn. Melf's minute meteors, but they're carrots.
Okay.
Chonky carrots, though. Like
big
really
chonky carrots.
Short and fat thick. Carrots. Fat carrots, yeah. Like a tuna can. Let's see. Tidal wave of carrots. And then tiny hut.
Made of carrots. Why not?
Yeah. And there's carrots in there to eat.
Of course.
So you don't eat the house.
Yeah. Like there's house carrots and then there's house carrots.
And there's a bed and it's made out of a big carrot.
It's a giant carrot.
Yeah. And it's all the carrot peels are like what you sleep on.
All right, Brian. Anything else you want to talk about Scrawn the Herringon?
Scrawn the Herringon. I have that ring of invisibility. I told you that, right?
It's yes.
Like critical. I don't
like
know why.
10 times.
I don't know. I got Arcana, Investigation, Perception, Sleight of Hand, Stealth. I have all the classic Herringon shit that comes with it, like jumping, mm-hmm. which apparently is bad. I've been seeing everyone's suggestions for Herringon
spells.
There's been a couple.
Stuff, okay.
So yeah, just like, hey, when are you going to build this guy? I'm like, I'm not. So thanks anyway. Thanks anyway. That's what I'm trying to say. What is the cool Herringon stuff? I need to look at it again. Waken spellbook. Oh yeah, what is my little spirit like?
That's a great question, Brian.
It's like my dead rabbit brother.
I mean, maybe it's just a sentient carrot.
Maybe it becomes that, right?
Yeah, it's
like,
sure.
Are you sure you want me around? It's like it'd be cooler. You'd be a lot cooler if you were carrot themed. I can do that. If that's what does it for you. That's what I'll be.
Okay.
I think that's cool. We got the hair trigger. You can add your proficiency bonus to my initiative rolls, my leoprene senses. Oh wait, that's not how you say that. Leoprene. What is this word?
It means rabbit.
Right, but like, how do you say it?
I gotta look at it because I don't build.
Leoprine is leoprene. Leoprene.
Leoprene.
Leoprene. I get proficiency in perception because of it, like an elf. Mm-hmm. The lucky footwork, when you fail a dex save, you can use your reaction to roll a d4, add it to the save, potentially turning the failure into success. Can't use this reaction if you are prone or my speed is 0, which it'll never be. And then rabbit hop, which is the jump. Bonus action jump 15 feet without provoking opportunity attacks, which is good. I'm very evasive. But if you do hit Scrawn,
he
I become
die.
Very weak. Yeah. I have alchemist supplies from being an artificer initiate. That's where I get my acid splash cantrip and just turning carrots into like cups of bad drink. Purify food and drink so I can turn. I can manipulate the carrots at my will. I can do whatever I need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give them my blood.
Uh-huh.
That's like Scrawn is out there. Like, I don't have a lot of HP, but here you go. You know, cut the paw.
Mm-hmm.
Blood for the... Life for the carrots, life for the crop, part of the ship, part of the crew.
Anything else on Scrawn?
The GIF always says part of the crew, part of the ship. But when I listen to that sound bit, it sounds like part of the ship, part of the crew.
It's definitely part of the ship, part of the crew.
Okay, did they just do the GIF wrong? GIF?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't look into these things.
It's time to watch Dead Man's Chest, everybody. Get ready for the Pirates references to come back.
Oh, boy.
Will, do you have a character that you built? I'm pretty sure you
did. I do. So when looking over the Order of Scribe, my initial thought was this is the nerdiest of the wizards. I need to build the nerdiest wizard I possibly
fucking
can.
Nerd.
Okay. My second thought upon hitting the level 6 feature was that the awakened mind that flits about reminded me very much of Stormlight Archives. There in Stormlight Archives, there are different orders, what are called Knights Radiant, and each one has different sets of powers, but all Knights Radiant have to bond this entity called the Spren. And there's many different types of Spren, but specifically the order called the Lightweavers bond a Spren called the Cryptics. And these things look like patterns that that are ever changing and whatnot. And they're very hyper intelligent, very logical. And Lightweavers tend to be scholars and artists and stuff like that.
Are we talking like kaleidoscope level patterns here?
Yeah, kind of. Okay. They can do a lot of things that are listed in the feature itself. So I was like, oh, I'm going to build a Lightweaver. And okay. So the thing about Lightweavers is they have two power. Every Knight's Radiant order has two powers. But the two powers that Lightweavers have is transmutation and, oh God, what's the other one? Oh, and light weaving, which is like illusion.
Okay, sure.
Like illusion magic and transmutation magic are the two things that they can do. So for this Order of Scribes Wizard, I chose nothing but transmutation and illusion spells. No other type of school of magic.
Okay.
So sweet. I wanted to try and build a light weaver here. and for the nerdy part, I chose this character to be not just a gnome, but a very specific kind of gnome. Let me see here. Fate.
A deep gnome?
No, not a deep gnome.
A rock gnome?
No, not a rock gnome.
A regular gnome?
Nope, not a regular gnome.
Is there another gnome?
Yes, there. I'm trying to tell you, Brian. It is a gnome with the, God, what is it called? It's got a dragon mark. It's a dragon mark gnome.
Oh, like an Eberron.
Yes. And why is it not listed? It should be named here. Why is it not named?
I bet you it is.
And we mark of Scribing Gnome.
Mark
there
of
it is.
Scribing. Scribing. Like the thing you're...
Yeah. Order of Scribe. Yes, exactly.
Very. A lot of synergy there.
Indeed. So, as a...
Stark lack of carrots.
A mark of Scribing Gnome. You get Gnome Cunning, which is, you know, advantage on intelligence, wisdom, charisma saves. Dark Vision, of course. You get Gifted Scribe. When you make an intelligence history check or an ability check, use a calligrapher supplies. You can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the ability check. You get Scribe's Insight. You know the message cantrip. You cast Comprehend Languages once per short rest and from third level, and Magic Mouth once per short rest. So both really cool short rest spells.
Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Spells of the Mark. You have the spell casting or pack magic class feature. The spells on the Mark of Scribe's spells table are added to the spell list of your spell casting class. So it's just a bunch of Scribe spells. Let me see if I can actually look up what those are. Spells...
I always think of the Johnny Wiseau's, what is it, The Room? Talking about Mark. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, Mark. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Illusory Script is one. Magic Mouth is another. Where the fuck are all my spells?
Go to the Manage Spells.
Okay.
They'll all be there. Because if you didn't prepare them, they're not going to show up.
Oh,
there.
My God.
Yeah, and then go to
this
Spellbook.
Fucking game. Okay.
One day we're going to be experts at D&D Beyond on the show.
No, we won't. I'm telling you that right now. It's never going
to
happen.
Will's going to resist like being technologically up to date.
It's all good. So my character's name, her name is Professor Privis Farshaw. She is a cloistered scholar. She is a light weaver. And her Spren, or in this case, Awakened Mind, has a name. And its name is Paradigm.
Okay.
And it looks like an ever-shifting pattern of some sort of mathematical sequence that I don't know about because I'm not a mathematician.
I hope it's not the double pendulum. Were we talking about double pendulum
recently?
No,
we weren't.
Oh, my God. The patterns like double pendulums make? They do like that crazy warble.
Oh, yeah. It does look a lot like that.
Chaos and then the order.
Okay. It looks like, yes, it looks like that.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool.
I was hoping it wouldn't be that.
Why?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's, okay. So that's kind of what
we were talking about fractals, right?
With cryptic, yeah, with cryptic Sprens, like if you look at their pattern, yeah, they look wild and crazy.
Cool. Okay.
Okay. So
do I need to look up double pendulum for you?
No, I understand what you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay. So for the spells, or let's look at features real quick. Is there anything in here I need to talk about that we haven't already? No, does not look like it. Feats. Did I take a feat? Oh, I took the Keen Mind feat because, again, they're a nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Increase your intelligence score by one. You always know which way is north, the number of hours left before the next sunrise or sunset, and can accurately recall anything that they've seen or heard in the past month.
It's like when you finally...
She's a super genius.
When you finally figure out that, like, your party wizard can, like, tell, like, hey, tell them which way is north. It's that way. Fuck. Did it again. Crazy.
So, her motive for adventuring is she is a collector of ancient wonders and ancient artifacts, ancient technology. So I have gifted her or I started her off with a couple interesting wondrous items. First, she has an ever-smoking bottle. Smoke leaks from the lead-stoppered mouth of this brass bottle, which weighs 1 pound. When you use an action to remove the stopper, a cloud of thick smoke pours out in a 60-foot radius from the bottle. Cloud's area is heavily obscured. Each minute, the bottle remains open. Within the cloud, the radius increases by 10 feet until it reaches a maximum of 120 feet. Cloud persists as long as the bottle is open. Closing the bottle requires you to speak its command word as an action. Once the bottle is closed, the cloud disperses after 10 minutes.
Here comes the part about wind.
What?
Here comes the part about wind.
About wind? What are you talking about?
Like wind will come and dissipate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, this is one of her wondrous items. She also has a wand of secrets. The wand has 3 charges. While holding it, you can use an action to expend one of its charges. If a secret door or trap is within 30 feet of you, the wand pulses and points at the one nearest to you. The wand regains 1d3 expended charges daily at dawn. So, again, just, like, really interesting wonders from the ancient days. That's what she's about collecting.
Okay.
And then spells, I chose again nothing but illusion and transmutation. So she ended up choosing a lot of spells I would never have chosen. So her cantrips are control flames, message, minor illusion, mold earth, and prestidigitation. I gotta go to manage spells and spell list. She has catapult, color splay, comprehend languages, illusory script, alter self, arcanist, magic aura, blur, dragon's breath, earthbind, Maximilian's earthen grasp, mirror image, Nathair's mischief, pyrotechnics, blink, fear, gaseous form, hypnotic pattern, major eye, arcane eye, fabricate, general, greater invisibility, hallucinatory terrain, and stone shape.
I like all those. Those are pretty cool.
So she's doing just a lot of like manipulation of her environment and of people's perceptions.
Yeah, I can see that.
Which is not a type of wizard that I've ever built before. So this was really fun. And it was also really fun putting together a character that is essentially like a type of character from a completely different like franchise, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like I built
give you like a different perspective.
Yeah, I got as close to a nice radiant light weaver as I could. And this was pretty fun and cool.
Yeah, that's neat. I like that a lot.
Yeah. So, any questions about purpose before we call it a game?
What level character were you?
She was level 8.
And what kind of? So part of my build was like I wasn't proficient in any armor, so I didn't take any.
Okay, yeah.
So that's why I took that ring.
Yeah, she has a 13 AC. I don't even know where the extra armor comes from.
I fell out on 11.
Pretty low. Yeah, you're at 11. Let me see equipment. No, she doesn't have anything equipped. Oh, she just has a 16 dexterity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I see you have 42 HP. What level were you again?
Level 8.
Level 8. Okay.
So 8 strength, 16 dex, 12 con, 18 intelligence, 14 wisdom, 9 charisma. That was all done through point buy.
Yeah. Oh, you did point buy.
Yeah.
I normally do standard.
Oh, I always do point buy because standard is never like quite the spread I want.
Yes, that's true. It's always the same spread.
It's annoyingly static and I hate it. But yeah, so that's Pribus Farshaw, Professor Pribus Farshaw.
What were your proficiencies?
Arcana, history, she's a nerd. Nature and religion, she's a nerd.
Yeah, cool.
She knows things. That's what she does.
She knows stuff.
Yeah.
She do stuff based off what she knows, and she knows lots of stuff.
Cool. All right, I think we're ready to get ready for a long rest.
I'm trying to think am I an adventurer? You're definitely
didn't sound like it.
No, it didn't.
You're not going anywhere near away from your path.
I sound like a shitty NPC.
That's like the crazy rabbit wizard.
Yeah, we don't go. Dude, do not step on that. Don't even go near it because you're going to get fucking silvery barbs in your feet or whatever. They go straight through your boots.
They're obsessed with their carrots. Don't fuck with their carrots.
There's no one ever there. The carrots just grow and anybody that gets close to it gets fucking obliterated.
Oh, yeah, because they're invisible.
I'm always invisible, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm small and it might be even smaller than you think.
Because I can go tiny. Okay.
I might go visit my papa.
That you're an urchin.
My artificer papa took me in to teach me artificery.
Yeah.
So I could turn. He's like, hey, like all I could get was the carrots that got thrown out from restaurants at night. So he taught me how to make them into real carrots again.
Nice.
Yeah, there we go. It's all coming together. All
right.
Yeah, I'm a shitty NPC. You're a cool adventurer. I like your character. Let's take a long rest.
Let's take a long rest.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. I'm here to tell you that you're the best. Thanks for listening to the show and making it here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to say a couple things that we say during every long rest, which is check out our Patreon.
Yeah, we got cool stuff there, and it's one of the best ways to support us if you want to support us.
Do you hate ads? Me too, but we got to eat. And those fools are paying. You can help us eat by going to Patreon, and we'll even give you ad-free episodes.
Absolutely.
Early. You can listen to them early, as early as I can get them to you, because I do that. I'm in charge of that part for the show. So go check it out. There's like a ton of like live play stuff, actual play stuff on there that we've done that's really funny and really interesting. Like whole shows, like episodes, like over. What do you think? Like over 100 hours of content of just that?
Of early episodes? Or
No. There's like very God much knows. More yeah. of early episodes.
Are we talking about our live play stuff? Yeah, there's like over 100 hours.
Easily. And merch, exclusive merch, Demogorgon related merch, who hasn't come up in a few episodes, but shout out to Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon.
Actually, it's only been a couple episodes. That's how it should be all year. Exactly. It's Year of the Fiend.
That is what is right.
Support us. On Spreadshirt, if you want merch, there's Year of the Fiend stuff on there, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, like if you like our podcast thumbnails or whatever, you can go get like a shirt with that shit on there. We got like the updated Dungeon Cast logo. It's really cool with those two little dudes. Get hats. There's this mug that Will's been talking about. Can't wait to see it.
It's like a mason jar bottle mug thing. It looks awesome. I can't wait to get it.
You ever eat at Lucille's Barbecue? Sounds like that.
Yes, it's very much like that. I like Lucille's Barbecue.
I do too, although the quality has declined over the years.
Has it?
Yeah.
Dude, I went there a couple weeks back and it was bomb.
Ooh, good. Yeah. I'm glad it was good for you. I went to California Pizza Kitchen the other day and that was not a good experience.
Yeah.
That really took a dive from the last time I'd been in there. And it had been like 8 years probably.
Yeah, I haven't been there in a long time.
Also, if you don't want to do any of that shit I just said, that's totally understandable and cool. I totally get it. Look, guys, just you being here and like listening to the show or however you consume the show is enough for us. So we really are appreciative of that. But if you want something that you can do for free, aside from telling people about the show, is to go to whatever you are using to listen to the show and leaving a review. If it's YouTube, hit the like, subscribe, all that stuff that you already know to do. It really does make a difference in helping support content creators. So I don't just recommend you do it for this show, but for all the shows that you love. But yeah, leave us an Apple Podcast review, a Spotify review, if you're using like Podbean or Podcast Addict. We usually get an email with our reviews, and we do read them because they're very wholesome and wonderful typically. So thank you guys so much. If you're new to the show, I don't know shit about D&D, except I do now because it's been 4 years. And Will's my sensei. And that's how the show works.
Indeed.
In case you were wondering, like, what's that guy doing? Learning, getting good at D&D, just passively by being here. Okay, so we got merch, we got Apple Podcasts, got Patreon. This mouse sometimes doesn't want to scroll on Google apps specifically, which is kind of strange. Oh yeah, okay. Grab it by the W and the D and rip it in half. Spread the word.
Spread the word.
I'm falling in love with that. What are you guys, Norse, you said?
What?
Viking torture?
Oh, the spread eagle. Yeah.
Yeah. Viking torture. Spread eagle. Yeah. Well, not spread eagle. That's a sexual thing.
It might be called blood eagle now that I think about it.
Blood eagle? No. Nah. It's way different than spread eagle.
It definitely is.
This is a BDSM Viking thing.
Viking eagle torture.
This is ropes and beds.
I'm definitely be put on a list.
Nudity.
Right now. Yeah, it was called the Blood Eagle. Sorry.
Blood Eagle. Give him the Blood Eagle.
Do not, please.
Blood Eagle the Dungeon Cast. Please do and spread not. It.
Oh, God. A gory ritual these warriors are said to have performed on their most hated enemies. The ritual allegedly involved carving the victim's back open, cutting the ribs away from their spine before the lungs were pulled out through the resulting wounds. Let's don't do that, guys.
Act like you hate us.
Don't.
And spread the word. Blood Eagle that shit. Blood Eagle the Dungeon Cast.
No.
I love it. It's over.
Can we call it a game?
Let's call it a... Wait. No. I have to Blood Eagle our social media stuff. You'll find us.
I hate it.
We have a Discord. It's a wonderful, beautiful, intelligent
community.
I was going to say highly sexual, but I don't think it's that.
It's super not.
No, it's very wholesome, actually. You can be whole. I don't know. I'm not gonna get into this. But we also have a Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Please find us there to get the latest updates on Dungeon Cast happenings, like contests. There's a contest going on right now, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, check out our Twitter. You just got to share a link to the show and follow the like the post and follow the Twitter, and you'll be entered to win some cool D&D related object, like an initiative counter or a dice tower or something like
that. Yeah, thanks to ARC, the Arrow Road Creations team. They're like a mom and pop D&D shop. They make everything by hand and stuff.
Yeah, and it looks really good.
They sponsored the show a couple episodes. Thank you guys so much for providing those items for the giveaway. They look awesome. I heard we're going to get some. When we do, we will definitely be flashing that and rocking it on the show and hopefully displaying it on the background. So yeah, thanks. We have a P.O. box. You can send us a postcard there, please. I'll remember to check it soon.
One day.
I've checked it a bunch. I just forgot this time. And then now we can call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
Goodbye.
Talk to you guys later.
Goodbye, my beloved audience.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.